I'm Deborah Amos, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Host Michelle Martin is reporting this week from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota. Coming up, we'll take you to the floor of the Republican Convention to listen in on delegates. But first, throughout both the Democratic and Republican National Conventions, we've been bringing you a series called What If?, in which we explore the impact of an African-American president on race relations in America, what happens to stereotypes and expectations. This week, Michelle Martin gathered together a panel of African-American Republicans to tackle that question. Her guests include Shelby Steele, the author of A Bound Man, Why We're Excited About Obama and Why He Can't Win, political commentator John McWhorter, the author of the upcoming book Our Magnificent Bastard Tongue, The Untold History of English, and Yvonne Davis, a former national co-chair of African Americans for Bush. She's now an Obama supporter.
I welcome you all to the program, and I thank you all for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
As part of this series, we've been asking our guests this question. Did you ever think in your lifetime that an African American would get this close to the White House? I guess I'll start with you, Shelby Steele.
Yes, I did. I thought Colin Powell would, he did get to come very close to, certainly to the opportunity to run. And I think that had he run against a weak Bill Clinton in 1996, that he very likely would have won. So I think it's in the last decade or so, it's been a problem more of people available blacks for that auspicious role, more than a willingness on the part of Americans. I think Americans have been open to this for a while.
What about you, John McWhorter?
I very much expected it. To the extent that I thought about it, I assumed that if another Kennedy-type figure came along, that that person's special allure in our era would be that they would be black, because there is, as we've now seen, a crucial segment of white and other people here in America who think of blackness not as a minus, but actually as a plus in terms of the diversity, in terms of what voting for that person would say about getting over the past and repudiating past wrongs. And so between them and then the black electorate, I've always thought that really it would be something quite plausible. And Obama is exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yvonne Davis, what about you?
I felt that a first African-American president would be possible, provided that the focus and emphasis was not on what we had in the past, which were candidates running for office focusing on a black agenda or a civil rights agenda per se. Barack Obama brings an agenda that is more inclusive and has to be. So provided he's come with a different message, it was possible. If he came with the usual construct that African Americans have been used to in the past, then no.
Mr. Steele, I want to pick up with you on this. The title of your latest book is Why We're Excited About Obama and Why He Can't Win. Now, your book was published back when many people assumed Obama wouldn't make it this far. He was, back then, I mean, he was running a, you know, close second to Hillary Clinton, but she was leading the polls, even with African Americans. You know, now fast forward to where we are now. Have your thoughts changed since then?
Oh, absolutely. I have regretted that the last part of that subtitle for probably 8 or 9 months at this point. But if I got anything wrong, it was that I underestimated the hunger in white America for this opportunity to finally document by voting for a black man that America is no longer a racist society. And what a wonderful opportunity Obama has offered them.
In essence, you're saying part of his appeal is that he's African American. It's not just that
I'm saying
he's
that probably
that he's a highly skilled politician.
I'm not sure we would have the phenomenon of Barack Obama were he white.
Oh, of course we would.
He is black, and yet at the same time, he is what I've called a bargainer. He puts whites at their ease, and so he has this really, I think, rather profound appeal to whites. You look at Obama's actual political positions on things, there's no galvanizing or original political idea there. There's just a nice fellow who is articulate, as his vice presidential candidate once said, and that is his appeal.
Yvonne?
I take a little different approach with this. Dr. Steele talked about proving the moral evolution of white America. I think that moral evolution comes generationally. If you're talking about your baby boomer generation, people who grew up in the civil rights movement, who experienced Dr. King, experienced a lot of changes, and those who have the bent that we need to do something, I could see that occurring and taking place. I think if you're looking at Generation X or Y, I don't even think that crosses their mind in the same way in terms of him being a black candidate and support for him as a black candidate.
Actually, it seems to me that so far we've been having only one side of the conversation. We've been talking about the effect on whites of an Obama presidency. Seems to me that there are two more aspects to this conversation. One is the effect that an Obama presidency could have on African-Americans and other minorities and on the relationships that these groups have with each other. So, John McWhorter, talk to me about that.
Well, I think that's very important because, for me, that is one of the main reasons I want to see Obama as president, that if there were 8 years of him in the White House, or even four, but especially if it were eight, then I think it would change the whole conversation we have about how deeply racist this country is. I know that there is racism, and I know that the playing field isn't level, but I do believe that through a series of historical accidents, a lot of very smart black people, along with white fellow travelers, have decided that their message to this country and to their people must be that it's worse than it is. The idea is that the racism isn't overt anymore, but it still basically condemns too many people to failure and can't really be grappled with until we completely turn upside down the way the country works. And I don't think that that message really helps anybody. I don't think that that's a good message to give to poor black people. The message is not to say that there's no racism, but the message is to say that the world, that for better or for worse, is not ever going to be perfect. And if the person who was in the White House was black, if the person getting off of Air Force One was black, and you saw that person and his very black wife and thoroughly black kids every single day on your laptop and on your TV, I think that a whole generation of black kids would grow up. And the idea that racism was their main problem, that America is based on racism and that racism is something we need to be having forums about every week for the next 50 years, I don't think they could see it that way. I think they'd realize that things have gotten subtler and in many ways better. And I think that that would also be the case for black people in general. The president would be black. Whatever you want to say about racism, to say that this is a nation that is founded upon bigotry against black people would no longer be possible in the way that it's often put now.
Shelby Steele?
Well, John and I are friends, but we disagree on this point. all my life, I come from grew up in segregation, the Martin Luther King generation. Our point was that race did not matter. And to come around now, and even though I am a conservative, support somebody who is very far to the left simply because of the color of their skin would seem to me to be a betrayal of everything that the civil rights movement fought for and won. It is a novelty. Barack Obama, for the most part, has run not as a political candidate. He's run as a cultural breakthrough. Yes, on a very, very symbolic level, he may nudge forward this idea of black responsibility as opposed to the excuse of racism. But I want somebody who is strong in national security, who is for vouchers and in inner cities, wants poor people to have school choice. I want lower taxes, not higher taxes. I'm not in favor of universal health care. And to vote for somebody just because their skin is black and betray all of those convictions that I've come to would seem to me to be hypocritical in the worst way. And I can't help but be a little disappointed when people advertise themselves as conservatives and then claim they're going to vote for the single most liberal senator in the United States Senate.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with John McWhorter, Shelby Steele, and Yvonne Davis about the impact an Obama presidency could have on race relations in America.
I'd like to take a different position from Mr. Steele, and that race did matter in the civil rights movement. It just did matter. Secondly, I'd like to say, with an Obama presidency, what I would suspect may happen is that the dialogue has to change to a more universal global dialogue that is inclusive of not only the traditional black-white discussion that we've had for decades or centuries, but
That's
the black-white, Latino, Asian, Pacific Asian, Middle Eastern, Central Asian. It is a melting pot of cultural discussions that will have to be had. And so from that standpoint, I think he's in a prime position to begin to talk in a global sense.
Shelby, can I push you on 2 points? One is you saying that, in essence, that I understand what you're saying sort of politically and substantively on a policy standpoint, Barack Obama is just too far away from you for you to vote
and
for
that's
him.
Personal.
There are two questions I wanted to ask you. One is there any power or benefit to the image he projects as a serious family man, a devoted husband and a father, a person who's played by the rules that has an important cultural and sociological impact? And secondly, what about the fact that he has in fact gotten all these people interested in the process, engaged them
in a
way that they had not been? Does that have any important substantive importance?
Well, I think that a lot of people listening to Yvonne, one feels that way. I mean, that cultural symbology is just a fool's game. How does that apply or come down to the real world? One of my problems with Obama all along has been that he's something of a blank slate. He's never really given us what his deep convictions are. Where you are projecting your hopes onto Barack Obama and assuming that somehow or other he's going to carry them out, I would say to you, you're very likely to be disappointed in that regard. He hides from blacks now. He won't be photographed in public with them. And so the kind of cowardice he's shown there, don't you take that into account?
Yvonne?
The point here is you don't follow Senator Obama around in his campaign, so you don't know what pictures he's taking with, if he's running from black folks or all that. You're making a lot of suppositions you cannot based on fact. I think that someone who's Generation X, I have a different view about it. You can't run like you used to. You can't be like the mayor for life in Washington, D.C. I forgot his name right now that ran and got
Marion
caught
Barry.
With crack. Marion Barry. You can't run the same way like you used to be. You have to have a different approach. And it proved that it worked. And you know what? Black folks came along to support him. So I think black folks are willing to say, okay, if he has to, if I take Mr. Steele's position 1 second, pull away a little bit, that's okay. Because you know what? We want this president.
And what's the most important thing that changes in this country, in your opinion, if Barack Obama becomes president?
I think that the change is going to be hard. We're in a serious economic situation, problems in America across the board, whether McCain gets in office or Obama. So if people have the expectation that change comes right away, that's the dangers of leadership. And that's another show, of course. And that's the problem. America expects things to happen too fast. It's going to take time.
John McWhorter.
What changes if Barack Obama becomes president is that we're going to have a different kind of debate on what the role is of race in someone's fate in this country and what we need to do about it. And to me, that is so important that even if Obama has flaws, I would like to see him in order to do this. Now, I wouldn't say that if he didn't seem to be a thoroughly competent, not to mention very bright possible president. I wouldn't be doing this if he just had brown skin. But the combination... Wow, that's why I'm here. That's why I decided to be a race commentator and having the sorts of things people say about you. That's why I put up with this, because I think this sort of thing is very important. And here this guy is.
Shelby Steele?
I think the reality is that societies change culturally on their own. And I think that if Barack Obama got to be the president, we'd have a black guy who was the president. I can remember when we had the first black mayor of Cleveland, Carl Stokes, and we thought the world was going to change. Well, he was just the first black mayor. I think Obama will just be the first black president, and we will go on as a society and evolve, I hope, culturally toward a kind of world we'd all like to see. But that's going to happen down on the ground. It's going to happen. The kids I see on 14th Street in Oakland are not going to suddenly stop being gangbangers because Barack Obama is in the presidency.
To be continued, I say we reconvene this group in sometime in the future and assess these predictions. And I thank you all so much. Shelby Steele is a research fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He joined us from Monterey, California. Yvonne Davis is the former national co-chair for the group African Americans for Bush. She joined us from member station WTIC in Connecticut. And John McWhorter is a Manhattan Institute senior fellow in public policy. He joined us from our New York bureau. I thank you all so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.